you will listen to the Superhero Slate podcast.
That's not how the Force works.
A modern podcast where Chris and Mike talk about TV, movies, superheroes, and everything in between. It's time for Superhero Slate.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Superhero Slate, the show where we run down the latest superhero entertainment news.
We love TV, movies, and superheroes, so let's talk it all out.
My name is Chris Dillard.
And my name is Mike Royer.
On today's show, we saw a bunch of movie trailers.
Mm-hmm.
We have more from Iron Fist news.
Finally.
The 12 Days of Deadpool have begun.
Mm-hmm.
And
Star Wars!
Oh, goodness. Oh, he's freestyling over there now. That wasn't planned, but I liked it.
I had to bring a little extra to this podcast today.
Yeah, totally. So, why did you bring extra to the podcast, Mike? What's so special about this podcast?
Oh, today is the day we finally get to talk a little bit about Star Wars.
We do. We're going to talk a little bit about Star Wars now and a lot about Star Wars later.
Yeah, we're going to give you guys our spoiler-free review. We guarantee no spoilers in this episode of the Superhero Slate podcast, but stay tuned, look in your subscription feed, and you will see our spoiler cast review pop right up in there.
Yes, and my first recommendation always is to watch the movie before you listen to the spoiler cast.
I can't imagine the psychotic people that are jumping into spoiler cast for this movie without seeing it.
Yes, I honestly, this is one of the few movies where I was able to go in blind as a bat, per se.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thankful for every second of that.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that and just trying to avoid spoilers. You know, at the top of the show, we usually give people updates on what we've been doing for the past week. But before we started recording, I was just like, it's just all been Star Wars this week. We might as well just segue this all into our first bit of Star Wars news.
Yeah, so I mean, I totally agree. This week has been pretty boring because I've been avoiding the internet. For the most part. I mean, even getting the news for the show has been kind of a, like, I can't scroll beyond a certain point because if someone gets to the comment section first, they'd put whatever spoiler they could.
And like that's the area you really had to avoid was comment sections. I mean, you could kind of, you know, if you're not following any sort of shady websites or if you don't like regularly visit like a place like 4chan or something like that, you could avoid spoilers as long as you didn't scroll too far. But that's definitely what I was doing. I totally blocked out Twitter because that you never know what's going to pop up in Twitter, like a retweet. Uh-huh. And
Reddit's even dangerous.
I saw like there was a PSA up there that people were purposely putting up spoilers. And then
it wasn't even in the Star Wars subreddits either. It's like any subreddit they could find.
Those bastards.
Yeah.
Well, and then I started having conversations with people. I was just like, well, is there really going to be anything in this movie to spoil, like, reveal-wise? I mean, we all know we're getting some of these old characters. You know, I guess maybe it's when will they possibly pop up? Mm-hmm. You know, things like that. But, you know, no spoilers here, but there definitely was things that could be spoiled in this movie after I saw it.
Definitely. Totally. And going in blind, too, like, I didn't want to know the story. We've all guessed. We've all seen rumors.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you, most of the rumors were not correct.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thankful for that. Like, that was all fresh. Like,
yeah.
The freshness is what you crave.
Yeah, most definitely. And then I started hearing a new thing from people. This is kind of the first time I've ever heard this brought up in, like, forms of online journalism, is that emotional reactions are spoilers. And some people are kind of on the fence about this. I totally agree. I don't, like, any sort of emotional reaction to a movie, to me, is basically a review. And I don't want to see reviews. I don't want any initial impressions before I go into this particular movie. So some people were saying, oh, Star Wars fans are being a little too sensitive. But it's just like, this movie is like so unique. It has so much on the line for it. You know, this movie has more on the line than the Batman vs. Superman movie does.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just like, people are taking it really seriously, and I'm totally fine with that. I'm not poking fun at anybody for doing that.
Yeah, I think it can be, and I think the problem is, like, whenever you give, like, When someone says it was good, you're setting a level of expectation for that other person. And that's the thing. I don't want to set another level of expectation. I want someone to go in under their own volition on this one and experience as themselves rather than someone else telling them what it is.
Yeah, and then you have to start diving into the psyche of the person that said it was good or said it was bad. And then you have to go like, oh, how much do I align with their beliefs?
Mm-hmm.
And do I even trust
them? Is this person
them?
Really my friend at all? Is this a cat in a person's suit? I don't know.
Well, I guess we can go ahead and we'll kind of lay out, you know, how Thursday night went for us, because I always think this is kind of fun. I always find it interesting to see how people experience movies, especially one of this nature. And I'm going to let you take the lead, because technically you in the East Coast time zone and the millions of you over on that side of the country got to see it 3 hours before I did, which made it even more difficult for me because I wanted to turn my phone off this like the second those showings even started on the East Coast. But, you know, I like to keep my phone on in case my wife has any problems on her commute on the way home.
Right.
So as soon as she got home, the phone turned off and I didn't turn it back on until the movie was over.
Yeah. So, I mean, I got there probably about 45 minutes before the movie started. Already had assigned seating tickets. Great. Like, no, I didn't have to worry that I was going to have to go get a good seat and fight for it. And the theater was kind of empty about 45 minutes till. Like, it was, the theater was empty. The entrance to the theater was empty. They don't require tickets to get into the building on, on this one, so you don't have to wait outside. Great. I went in. I got, actually, I don't like buying food, so I didn't eat dinner, so I bought nachos. My preference here. And I bought... If you buy the nachos, you get the 3D special glasses at a discount rate.
Oh, man. Okay.
So I bought the Kylo Ren ones. I'm like, you know, I will take one pair of glasses. I have several special 3D glasses collected. I'm like, I'll take a Star Wars one. Then I go give them the tickets and I walk in and they give us special glasses to watch it with anyway. So I ended up getting Kylo Ren and Captain Phasma. And then my fiance got a Stormtrooper. And we didn't get the BB-8 because they look stupid. So I feel like we won on that. So that was that. Sat down, ate my nachos. Right before the movie starts, somebody sits beside me with this device that looked like he was going to record the movie with. And I'm like, what is this?
You're like, you must be crazy, dude.
Like, is this how they do that? Is this how people record movies? Because it goes in the cup holder and things. It was actually an LCD panel for subtitles.
Oh.
And closed captions.
Mm-hmm.
And come to find the guy's deaf, and that's how it sits underneath the screen. Like, he can move it around, and it sat underneath the screen, and he could read it while the movie was going on.
Oh, that's really crazy.
And it was not distracting, to be honest. It had blinders. It's kind of got that angled, so you can't see it from an angle glass on it.
Gotcha.
But if I wanted to lean over, you could. I tried to look at it during the text scroll at the beginning. It's not there because if text is on the screen, they don't put it on there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he can read that.
Yeah. So that was an interesting experience there. And this was the first time no one turned on their phone in the cinema I've ever been in.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can say the same thing, too. Like, this is the first time in a long time I went to a theater and I was, like, getting a vibe of the people around me. And I was like, this is going to be a decent screening. I don't think I'm going to have to worry about anybody, which is the reason why you go to these movies on opening night. It's the reason why, like, you put everything aside and try to get those first showing tickets.
Exactly. And it was very awesome. It was a big, almost an IMAX size screen, too, which was great to watch it on. And it was definitely a great experience. I loved it. And it was different from my second viewing that night because that was a private screening. For only the comic book store people. So it was a smaller theater. It was 2D, but like you felt like you're watching it with your buddies.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty interesting because this second showing kind of gives you a different perspective on the movie that I think we're going to go into more in the spoiler cast. So that's kind of cool. We're going to get a lot of different angles. And as everybody knows, you write reviews up on Comic UI, and you have your review up there of the movie already. And I was looking at it, and I was like, "Oh, this is going to be a really good spoiler cast because we disagree on some things, and that's really good."
Yeah.
So you'll want to look forward to all that. I don't know if there's going to be like virtually throwing chairs at each other.
Well,
or anything.
I mean, I think that's something that again, you said that it's good that we disagree. Like, having multiple eyes on the same movie doesn't mean we're going to sit here and gush about it. For you know, an hour, and people are just gonna, like, all they're doing is saying the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. So I look forward to our spoiler cast as well. But I had a great time, a great experience. I'm glad I went. It wasn't crowded. It wasn't packed. Like, it was a very great time. And how about yours? What's LA like? What's the LA movie scene like?
Well, so out here, there's tons of different ways you can go see this movie. I mean, I grew up in a relatively small town that only had one movie theater. You had to drive a little bit out of your way to go to a little bit of a nicer movie theater. Then you had to drive even farther to get to the really good movie theater.
Okay, well, see, that's one more movie theater than I had growing up. But that's awesome.
So that's why I said relatively small. But LA, you have a plethora of options. I mean, you kind of decide on, you know, what's closest, how far does it take to get there, what kind of experience do you want. A friend of the show, Quentin Parker, was sending us updates all week of the premiere on Hollywood Boulevard with the metal detectors and security they had all over there, and the people waiting outside the Chinese theater to get in to see the first showing of the movie. So there's definitely parts of the city out here that get absolutely crazy. I decided to not go to an absolutely crazy movie theater. I went to one of our favorites that has about 8 screens, and each screen has all luxury lounging seating. Now, I don't necessarily need to recline during this movie. Actually, halfway through the movie, I turned the recline off just because it's kind of fun to be on the edge of your seat, literally. But it's nice because it gives you a lot more room. I guess it's just kind of this theater's way of competing out here with all these different options. It's just like, oh, come to our theater and you'll get tons of room, tons of arm space. You're going to be at least guaranteed like 12 inches between you and the person sitting next to you. It's amazing. So we opted for that theater, but when I went to go buy those tickets, you know, a few weeks back, I didn't get optimal seating for the 8:10 showing. I got 3 rows from the front, which is really bad in a normal theater, but not as bad in this theater since these rows are way more spaced out. So I had decent seating, but I'm really looking forward to going to see it again with a better angle. Because usually when you're so close to it, especially for the first time seeing a movie, you're just engrossed in kind of everything that's happening. It's kind of hard to pull back. So it didn't negatively affect my experience at all, but I'm looking forward to the next time I get to see it in a little bit of a different environment. And I got to see it this time in 2D, which was a choice of mine. You know, I wanted to experience just normally without any sort of tricks of the trade. But from what I hear that the 3D version of this movie is actually pretty good. So I want to see it in that version. So I'll get around to that eventually. But I had a... So you mentioned how you went in without eating much. And I wanted to go in basically with tank on empty in every respect. You know, I didn't want to have to go to the bathroom. So we walk in and my wife's like, oh, do you want to get any popcorn or, you know, anything to drink? I'm like, nope, I'm just going to get like a little sip from the water fountain. I'm good. But she wanted popcorn, so she got a bottle of water. I'm like, okay, this is fine. You know, a bottle of water will help me because maybe if I get thirsty during the movie, I won't have to go out to the water fountain. So anyway, I made the mistake of mowing down on some popcorn before the movie even started, and I got some stuck in my teeth. So for the first 20 minutes, like sitting in the chair waiting like for the trailers to start, I'm just attacking this kernel of popcorn in my tooth, going crazy, and I'm using this trick of getting a bottle of water and swooshing it around trying to get this thing out because no one has floss. No one has floss anywhere.
Did you ask?
No, I didn't.
See, that's your problem. You should have asked. That's that one guy beside question. You would have had.
That's the most bizarre question to ask somebody. Because I was actually, it got to a point where I was getting desperate, where I was just like, okay, if I'm going to ask somebody, how do I ask them? Be like, I'm sorry, this is a really weird question, but do you have any dental floss? But eventually it got to the point where I got a lot of it out and I could enjoy the movie. But I realized I drank half of this bottle of water. So halfway through the movie, I had to go to the bathroom. So luckily, I mean, This movie, I guess this kind of goes into a little bit of what we thought about the movie, but this movie's so chocked full of just things that you could just miss in the blink of an eye, you know, callbacks to the older movies, that I was just like, crap, I'm never going to be able to get up and go pee because I'm gonna miss like an Easter egg. I mean, like the Easter eggs per minute are just out of control with this film. So luckily I found a scene, and just for anybody out there, since you may have not seen it yet, there is a typical kind of Star Wars, I guess, tavern scene, kind of sort of midway through the movie. And I guess as soon as they walk into that tavern, that's when I went to the bathroom. And when, and I, obviously I ran like the wind, and when I got back, my wife told me that I really didn't miss anything. So I would say that's a good place to go pee if you have to go pee. So that's my recommendation. So anyway, I made it through the movie just fine. I thought it was kind of interesting at the end because we knew that there was no post-credit scene. We've already reported on that.
Uh-huh.
So, like, the credits are going, and, you know, I'm just like, well, you know, I got to see, you know, the main scrawl of actors. I thought it was hilarious that Bill Hader got credited as a voice consultant on BB-8. I thought that was super funny. Yeah. But then I was just like, okay, it's getting kind of late. You know, we have to work tomorrow. So I was like, I get up and I turn around and I look behind me and everybody's still in the theater. So I'm just like, are people just in awe and amazement that they don't want to get up yet? Or do half of these people just think that there's a post-credit scene? So I even knew that there was no post-credit scene, but I Googled it anyway just to make sure. And I was like, okay, there's no post-credit scene. And then we left.
Yeah, I mean, totally. Like, I was the only person, I think, who left my first screening during the credits because I had to get to the second one.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed to go to the bathroom. So it was like everyone was still sitting down. I got out really quickly. It was intensely, like, satisfying. And because I knew there was no in-credit scene. And that was pretty it was pretty good. So I'm glad you had a good experience. I'm sorry you had to get up and go to the bathroom, though.
I know. Like, I hear that I haven't missed much yet, so that's good. And the thing is, I knew I was going to be seeing this movie at least one or two more times, which is a big deal for me because I'm not much of a movie rewatcher. So
you did see more and more than I did.
Yeah, that's true.
So I want to point out something. I guess before we go into this next part of the Star Wars thing is, a non-spoiler review for me is go see it.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone should watch this movie.
Okay.
And I think everyone should go in as blind as they could.
Mm-hmm.
Not watching trailers, not reading reviews, maybe not listening to us say that we enjoyed it. but go see it. And if you can, don't tell people it's good, go see it. Just tell people you should go see it.
Yeah, I'm going to be surprised the first time I come across somebody that has a real problem with this movie. It just hasn't happened yet, even on the internet. I like, the first thing I kind of do after a movie is I go out and try to gauge the opinion of people just all over the place. And I mean, obviously, just like in any movie, it's not perfect. But you know, some people are just harping on more things than they should. But that's really the only thing I've seen negative. It's overwhelmingly positive for this film.
Yeah, and well, I mean, it's not that hard when all you have to do is better than The Phantom Menace or Attack of the Clones. I think I don't like Attack of the Clones more at this point in my life. But yeah, so I think you should go see it. Mike, do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And okay. I think that is a good way to just wrap up this Force Awakens section for the news for this week, just because I think if we start just getting into it, I'm just not going to be able to stop. It's going to be like rolling down a hill, and I think we can save that for the spoiler cast.
Definitely. So I just want to point out, depending on what version you see, IMAX, 3D, or 2D, you're going to get different trailers.
Oh, yeah.
For each one. And I didn't realize this until I saw 3D and 2D, and I'm like, the 2D trailers suck.
This is kind of funny. So since I saw it 2D, and this is kind of related to what we might be segueing in a little bit. So one thing that kind of not really bugged my wife, but she just couldn't get it out of her head was, you know, one of the characters in the movie is Poe Dameron. Mm-hmm. And I went up and I looked up some trivia about the movie, and it said where J.J. Abrams got that name. So my wife was just like, well, I was really distracted because we saw that trailer for Kung Fu Panda, and Jack Black's character, the panda, is named Poe. So she just kept thinking about Kung Fu Panda every time they said Poe on the screen. And then I get back and I looked at the trivia, and Dameron's last name comes from, I think it's his like assistant or something at Bad Robot or something, like their last name is Dameron. And Poe comes from the name of that assistant's like daughter's stuffed panda, Poe. So literally, Poe is from a panda's name in the movie, and I just thought that was hilarious.
Well, I think it's funny that Oscar Isaac, who plays Poe Dameron, is actually Apocalypse in X-Men Apocalypse. And they did not show that trailer before the 2D version of the movie.
Yeah, I got some pretty subpar trailers. I mean, it ended with the Civil War trailer, which I've seen before, but it was still fun to see. But, and then this Zootopia movie, I mean, it looks like it might be a funny movie, but it's always a bad sign when a movie trailer is just a scene from the movie, I feel like. Because it feels like they just can't quite find a way to make it funny, and it's just that sloth scene. I don't, have you seen that yet?
Yeah, that was part of the 2D version. It wasn't on the 3D.
And it was, you know, ha-ha funny the first time I saw it, but since it's such a slow pace type of like joke, I couldn't stand watching it for the second time. So I was just like, God, I do not want to see this movie in 2D again, because I don't want to be subjected to this sloth joke again. We get it, they're sloths, they're slow. Like, you should have saved it for the movie, not blew it in the trailer.
Well, what I think's funny is that probably won't even make it to the movie, because that's usually what they do. They'll tease us with somebody in the trailer and not put it in the movie.
Oh, God, maybe.
But, the 2D was really, really subpar, with Batman v Superman and Civil War kind of being the highlights.
Oh, I didn't even get Batman v Superman. I got Fantastic Beasts.
You know what? I didn't get that either. I got Fantastic Beasts, but I did not get that on 3D.
Oh, wait. But what we did get, which I actually hadn't seen the trailer for yet, which was great, because by this time in this day and age, I see all the trailers before I make it in the movie. I saw the trailer for the new stop-motion movie, the people that did like Paranorman and the Box Trolls.
Okay, what's it called?
I think it's called like something and his two strings. It's like,
oh, it
looks like
that.
It's like a feudal Japan style stop motion, and it looks like this character has some sort of like magical like little strumming guitar type instrument. It looked amazing because it's like stop motion, the kid or the person's on a raft and going through the water. It looked amazing. I can't wait to see that movie. But that was really, really cool. So I mean, it's not really related too much to what we talk about on the show, but I would go out and watch that trailer.
See, of the trailers I got, I remember Apocalypse, Civil War, Batman vs Superman in 3D, Independence Day Resurgence. Mm-hmm. Warcraft, still haven't been sold on that movie yet. But then I didn't get Ninja Turtles, but I got this one about aliens taking over that wasn't Independence Day.
Oh, it is that. I think that's one of those young adult movies. It has Chloe Grace Moretz or something in it.
Yeah, and the creepy brother from Jurassic World.
Yeah, I saw all of those post-apocalyptic teenage. Yeah. Trailers and when we went to see the second part of the Hunger Games, which is awful, by the way. Just Hunger Games movies, those last two sucked. They just sucked. But anyway, I looked up that stop motion movie is called Kubo and the Two Strings.
Okay,
so
gotcha.
Go look out that trailer. That trailer was awesome. So,
and then the last trailer I got, or it wasn't in there, but one of the other last trailers I want to talk about is the Star Trek Beyond trailer.
That was actually the first trailer I got.
Okay, see, that was the last one. I don't get this movie yet. I like the first Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't care for Into Darkness, and I'm mm-hmm. kind of excited for this one. But there's two things I learned after watching this trailer. First off, if you want to put music in your trailer, make it Beastie Boys, right?
Yeah.
Turtles did that as well, which I did notice. That was pretty funny that you mentioned that. And secondly, that Idris Elba is in it, but he's like covered in makeup. It's like an alien, and you can't really tell it's him.
Yeah, but when I saw it the second time, and after you had told me that earlier in the week, I was like, oh, no, I can kind of hear Idris Elba in the background a little bit.
Yeah, so I'm excited for it. It's one of those, your crew scattered across the planet and so on and so forth. The chick in the white makeup is actually from Kingsman. She's the girl with the sword legs.
Oh, okay, cool.
So that's fun. I'm looking forward to it. I want to see a better trailer.
Yeah, this trailer is this is what I thought about when I saw the trailer. This seems like trailer number three. It seems like they jumped all the way till the action fun trailer. Because, like, usually we get a little bit more of, like, an emotional response in the first trailer. We get a little bit more mystery. It's a little slower pace, and then it picks up towards the end. This seems like the trailer you see, like, 2 months before the movie comes out. So it just kind of seemed really weird and out of place. It seems like a strange way to debut the third movie, but I love how JJ has started putting Beastie Boys in the first movie, and then it was in the second one, and then obviously he's just producing the third one now, but they still put some Beastie Boys in there. Mm-hmm. My favorite Beastie Boys song of all time is Intergalactic, which just is would be perfect for a science fiction movie.
How so ironic is not there.
I'm waiting for that to pop up in there, so I'm loving Beastie Boys and trailers. So
yeah, so it's cool. Let us know what you think. I'll probably go see it. But it's not like a rush for me to go watch that movie.
Yeah,
not yet, at least.
Isn't it kind of weird that we're seeing a Star Trek trailer before a Star Wars movie? I mean, not with
J.J. Abrams being attached to both of them.
What a time to be alive!
Yeah. And speaking of Beastie Boys, let's talk about Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Oh, if my wife was in front of this microphone right now, she would take up the mantle and she would start screaming because this is her world. She would do anything to be a real part of the Wizarding world.
So this is one of those prequel movies that really doesn't have anything to do with the actual original franchise. This is like a Prometheus for Harry Potter.
yeah, kind of.
That may cut, like, I think this will do good. I think this will do good at the box office. Do you think they'll turn this into a trilogy?
I think so. I think we have some kind of franchise news towards the end of this episode, because that's just the way that Hollywood goes now. So I don't think they would even put the effort into making one film if they couldn't get, like, a trilogy out of it.
Right.
So basically, if you're out there and you don't know, this is based on kind of a textbook that students read in the Harry Potter universe, I believe.
Yes.
And I'm sure I will get my wife to fact check all of this. So they're kind of focusing on this one character, the guy who you see in the trailer holing
Newt Salamander, I think is
yeah,
his name.
Yeah, or Scarmander or something like that. So it's kind
Scamander,
of focused.
Scamander.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's kind of focusing on him. And what I think that they might do is I think they're going to jump into these other little books that they have that they've published alongside of the normal Harry Potter novels. There's one called Beetle the Bard. I don't really know what it's about off the top of my head. And then I think there's like maybe another one. And I think maybe they're going to try to find a way to thread all of these ideas together. But I'm pretty excited for this movie. I saw some people were excited that we kind of get to see the Wizarding World in America for the first time, which I think will be really cool to kind of see the U.S. kind of angle of it. This seems to be in the past. I'm curious what decade it's in. Like, it kind of seems World War era.
Yeah, it does. It's a 30s, 40s is what it looks like. Cars are prevalent, but they're not like, you know, 50s style Cadillacs. What I think is interesting is Harry Potter's always been kind of relegated to the school. They went out on the last movie, but you don't know where they were. So I'm glad to see them kind of go globe hopping. I'm glad they're building up the universe around them, because the Harry Potter universe as a whole is very, very rich.
Oh, yeah.
And full of other great stories. Yeah. So I think this is going to spawn other movies. Yeah. But I don't remember there being any beasts in this trailer.
No, there weren't. I think they're probably saving that for trailer two, because this definitely was a teaser trailer in all aspects of what we saw. But I'm excited to see where this goes. You know, J.K. Rowling is kind of, she's not like a prima donna like a lot of other really popular authors are, or people that find success. Usually they try to differentiate themselves and try to branch out and prove that they're more than just what made them famous. But no, apparently she has a website called Pottermore, and she regularly updates this with like canon writing that tells you what's going on with characters. And she's penning the script. I'm sure they're having some other people look over it to polish it up, but she is very much involved with this story. So this is all canon. This isn't necessarily studio interpretation. So I love that she invented this universe. She's not letting it go anywhere, and she loves it. And I think that's what's going to make these next kind of run of Harry Potter movies pretty special.
So what I had a horrible thought here, but what if she gets to be like George Lucas and like 20 years go back and like does special versions of the movies where she adds in things that they couldn't add at the time?
I suppose we do have an example in history where that does not work out well.
I just thought that was
But
funny.
she does not have total control, which is what George Lucas did in those prequels.
Well, I think again, she's smart and she cares about the characters. She's not just merchandising.
Yeah, that's true.
If we were, we'd still be eating Bertie Bott's every flavor beans.
Yeah, but this was a surprise. I don't know if we reported on this trailer coming out in the weeks before the movie.
We have once before, but I don't remember.
Yeah, but this was a pleasant surprise. I was just scrolling through the internet one day and bam, Fantastic Beasts trailer, and I jumped on that.
You know, I before we jump into our next topic here, this reminds me, one of the trailers I got in 3D was The Jungle Book.
Which,
a year ago, was one of your least looking forward movies of 2015 before it was moved. Does that still stand? This movie's getting a lot of attention. And it's not looking horrible. I'm not saying I'm excited for it, but...
Well, guess what? I'm holding strong on it's going to be bad because it could only go positively for me. Okay, so guess what? Maybe it ends up being really, really good. And I get one wrong out of the out of the four that I got right. But then I go into it with super low expectations. And heck, I might be the one person out there that loves this movie more than anybody else because I said it because I was shitting on it for the longest time.
Yeah.
Or maybe it does end up being bad because all these other Disney movies have been bad. And then I'm just like, oh, I told you I was right. I ran a perfect score.
Yeah. Well. Which
reminds me, we need to go through at the beginning of 2016 and plot out the movies there.
Yes, I've actually got it. We're gonna do a 16 for 2016.
Oh, okay, cool.
Because there's a lot of movies next year. We can't just limit it to five, so we don't have to rate them. But we'll just say here's the movies we're looking forward to.
Okay.
Another movie. The next movie I'm looking forward to is Deadpool.
Deadpool. This is finally. I mean, it's been in our sights now, but now since my blinders are off and Star Wars is officially behind me, not very far behind me. It's like right up against my back. I can finally see Deadpool now. And man, February. This is like
a month and a half away.
Yeah, a month and a half away. Like you can count this movie in weeks now, not months anymore.
Right. Which is awesome because they're running a 12 Days of Deadpool, which is something new every day leading up to December 25th. We didn't get a trailer. We thought we were. We were wrong. Eating our words here. But the new posters are freaking hilarious.
Yeah. Well, and we're not technically at the end of the 12 days yet, so I think we still might get a trailer.
Yeah, we might, but we didn't get one for Star Wars, I thought they would. But the poster I want to highlight is the Wait Till You Get a Load of Me poster with him holding a gun at his crotch, and it's like whoever is doing this is just having fun.
Oh yeah,
and it's working. Like I'm looking forward to a fun movie, and this poster definitely nails that off.
Yeah, I'm hoping that I think this movie is going to be good, but I really want it to be very financially successful because I really want this to spark a new run of rated R superhero movies. You know, I'd love to get maybe a new reboot of Blade in some way. I think Blade might do pretty good on Netflix, so maybe not a film with Blade. But I'd love to see like some little one-off X-Men rated R movies. That'd be really, really cool.
Yeah, I mean, if we can get one good rated R superhero movie a year, that's all we need. We don't need every movie to be R.
Yeah.
So, but I'm excited for Deadpool. This poster is fun. It's funny. There's more coming out. By the next time we record our next one, we'll probably have a trailer to talk about.
Yeah. I mean, Deadpool is going to be our next spoiler cast. It's like the next, it's just the next film to drop.
It is. And man, like you said, 6 weeks. That's so close. But one that's so far away is Doctor Strange.
Ooh, we got some photos here, don't we?
We have a behind-the-scenes photo of Doctor Strange. There's several out there. This is the first one I saw because it points out three different things. First off, we have the director in the middle, an executive producer on the left there as Stephen Broussard, and then the president of Marvel Studios, Louis Desposito. He usually does the one-shots. He's in charge of the one-shots. Like he did Agent Carter. But in the background, we see the Doctor Strange symbol on the wall.
That's the first thing I saw.
And then right below that, it looks to be an eyeball.
Yeah, possibly it does.
The Eye of Agamotto, which we last saw in the vault of Asgard's armory in Thor 1. So this is a great-looking set here. I'm glad it's not a CG set. There is a little bit in the backgrounds, but like, they built this set to look like it's an old, you know, maybe a monastery or something stone, and I really, really enjoy that look. There's another photo where the Spider-Man actor was on set, but he was just visiting the set, not actually doing anything. So anyone who's like, oh, Spider-Man's Doctor Strange, I doubt it. I think he's just there because anyone in Marvel, like, if he's going to be the next big thing in Marvel, to be honest with you, after Doctor Strange is out. So they... maybe showing him around, like, this is how Marvel works. This is how the crew works and the sets work.
We know you're on Civil War, but here's a different example. And maybe, but he's not going to probably be in Doctor Strange. But this is Doctor Strange, a lot coming forward. I expect to see maybe some more set photos. I really want to. We got the concept art last week. This, I want to get a teaser. I want to get something awesome and solid of Cumberbatch in his Doctor Strange garb.
Yeah, and this is November next year, right?
Yes, November.
Okay, yeah. So we're probably going to see something when these summer movies start premiering. That's probably when we'll get our trailer.
If they do it by the same months they did Civil War, it will premiere with Civil War. Mm-hmm. Like a teaser will. Also, I want to point out something for Doctor Strange. One of the writer who did the last polish on the script is C. Robert Cargill, who was the writer of Sinister. A lot of horror genre people being involved with this movie. So it's probably a horror film with Doctor Strange added on top of it.
I like that. I want a scary Marvel movie. That'd be cool.
Yeah, a lot of mysticism and spooky things.
A lot of spookies.
Yeah, a lot of spookies. Speaking of Captain America's Civil War, we got a picture on that.
Yeah, this is a cool concept art piece that we have here, because not only is it kind of large in scope, but we actually learn a couple things about the movie with this.
Yeah, so this is it's concept art, but I think this was released in a magazine of some kind.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Because it looks like a fold down the middle. So we get to see some people fighting, and this is the first time I've seen Vision and Ant-Man show up in artwork, but I'm definitely like the if you get some chance, we're gonna link this image, but we'll put it in the video, but like you need to go in and look at this, because you can read some things, you know, about War Machine, Black Panther, the Winter Soldier, Ant-Man, and Black Widow.
Yeah, well, I think the most important thing to note here is this seems to point out team sides. That's what they're focusing on, who's on whose side. Uh-huh. But we don't get it for every character up here. But we do remember from the trailer that Scarlet Witch was on Captain America's side. Uh-huh. And who do we see fighting Scarlet Witch? We see Vision. So are we to assume that Vision is with Captain America? Who knows?
Right. It's hard to tell, because at the end of Age of Ultron, the team, you know, Vision and Black Widow were all on Captain America's New Avengers team, but now they don't seem to be. Oh, so was War Machine. But I don't know, and that leaves me excited to see what kind of fractures these people. Mm-hmm. But again, it's always great to see Black Panther kind of taking a forefront there with his sharp claws. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I'm excited for this movie. I'm excited for this battle. Civil War is, again, the third movie that the next in line is the third spoiler cast ahead of us. Mm-hmm. And I just can't wait. Like, the wait time is now getting shorter for everything.
Yeah, but
and that's thrilling.
But this will make you feel good. When we were talking about this earlier, we were wondering if Vision was going to be in the movie at all, because we thought he might be overpowered. But you were like, no, his equal probably would be Scarlet Witch, and that is what we see in this concept art.
Oh, well, thank you. But yeah, I think I would like to see how much the witch has evolved in terms of her powers, because now she can fly from the trailer. And she's deflecting the mind gem itself. So she's pretty powerful. Honestly, her blast kind of looks like power gem kind of abilities. But either way, I like this. I like this. It's great. It's fun. Civil War it is.
Yeah. Poor Hawkeye doesn't get to fight anybody.
Yeah. He's like, I'm shooting an arrow somewhere. I hope I hit somebody. That's the side I'm not on, apparently. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Is the first movie of 2017, so we got a little ways away. It's not even filming. Big rumor this week, Kurt Russell is in talks to play Star-Lord's father.
Man, Kurt Russell. I was expecting a little bit of a younger father when it comes to Star-Lord, in my opinion.
You are not wrong. My theory is always that his father is the Adam Warlock character. The Star-Lord's brother, Adam Warlock. Some people, you know, are clinging to Captain Marvel rumors, the original Captain Marvel, not the girl portion, because that's weird.
Well, so I mean, I'm not too familiar with too much of Star-Lord's dad's history, but is he ever at any point in time like just they turn him into a superhero like that?
Well, here's the thing: in the comic books, his dad's the ruler of the Spartax, a human group. They don't turn him into anything, but he hasn't shown up until the movie came out. Mm-hmm. But they said that they're not going that way. So anything that we know right now, no. But we got to figure out, because the only fact we do know is that his
Mother said he looked like an angel, a mm-hmm. being of light. Excuse me. And the one group of people said it's an ancient race they've never seen before. Yeah. Or haven't seen in a long time. So.
Yeah, so I feel like maybe aging wouldn't be too much of a big deal for those people. But, well, yeah, we'll have to see how that runs down. I mean, I think Kurt Russell... I don't know. The last time I saw him in the movie, I believe, what was it? The last Fast and Furious movie?
Was it? I didn't know he was in Fast and Furious.
Yeah, he was the he was the general that was trying to also get this thing. I don't know, the MacGuffin that they were trying to get in that movie.
Oh, he was Mr. Nobody in Furious 7.
Yeah, that's what it was. I mean, like. I'm just gonna. I can't judge him just based on the movie because it's not like the movie was anything amazing in my mind. But so I don't know.
The last thing I saw him in was Death Proof from 2007, a Tarantino film. Which brings me. He's in The Hateful Eight coming out on Christmas, which is actually my next big movie. I'm pretty excited for.
Yeah, he's a grizzled dude. If they need a grizzled dude. He works, but it just depends. We've been saying, it seems like a Star-Lord's dad would be like the super buff, blonde-haired, just like measure of a man, you know?
Well, I want to point out, he was the commander in Sky High in 2005, so he is no stranger to superhero films.
Okay, well, that's the only pedigree we need is Sky High.
And honestly, I don't like Big Trouble in Little China. People may hate me for that. I didn't care for that movie back when he was in that. But, you know, we may remember him as, you know, Escape from L.A., Snake Plissken, and that was a Universal Soldier, I think he was in.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got action chops if they want him to do some action.
Yeah, I guess we're not really too worried about his acting ability.
I think he would be a fun addition to the Marvel Universe as long as they don't, you know, off him pretty early on.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we've been talking about Iron Fist. Quite a bit. Marvel's Iron Fist. The production has a title called Kick. So if you see them filming a movie called or a show called Kick in New York, you know what this is.
Yeah, snap some photos and send it to us.
It starts in April.
Man.
That's a quick turnaround from showrunner to filming. So apparently they've been working on this quite a bit. We just didn't know about it. And they're casting for two characters. These could very well be fake names. But the first one is Dylan Kendall, a 25 to 28 year old handsome and sophisticated independent and loner as a series regular. That doesn't ring a bell for anybody we know in the comics offhand. Harry Marshall is casting 45 to 50 year old Caucasian, highly intelligent, merciless, confident, and arrogant, physically active as a series regular.
Ooh.
So this Harry Marshall kind of fits a character that is the guy who like exiled Danny Rand and I guess killed his father or something and like took over the company until Iron Fist returned. So that's I feel like that'll be kind of like a nemesis. But also, fun fact, Carrie Ann Moss is returning as Jerry Hogarth, much like I said she would.
Yeah, she's a pretty cool character, so I'm glad to see her coming back.
Yes, and Jerry Hogarth was the man who handled the Rand estate while Danny Rand was out doing his Iron Fist thing. So I'm glad to see that they're kind of carrying that across. So I'm ready for Iron Fist. You ready for Iron Fist?
Ooh, I'm super ready for Iron Fist. It's going to be so much fun.
If they're filming in April, when do you think we're going to get a casting announcement for the main character?
Oh, man. I don't know. Maybe at the end of January.
Okay. We need a Daredevil. I imagine Daredevil is going to come out pretty soon. We need a teaser for Daredevil, and I figure it'll be right along with that. In the same time frame.
Team it all up.
Yeah, like in 1 week, just bam, bam, bam. Like, bam.
But hey, we always love that.
How we do. You like Legends of Tomorrow yet? Yeah, that starts off next month. Are you ready?
We'll have to see how it all goes down. They've kind of done an interesting kind of way of connecting it and announcing it and bringing it up in these CW shows. I don't know. We'll have to see.
I'm ready for it. I want to see it. I like The Flash. I'm all iffy on The Arrow, but I think this is a good sci-fi series with time travel. Arrow's Ra's al Ghul, or Ra's al Ghul, however you want to pronounce it, I don't care, is going to appear. The same actor who played Ra's al Ghul in Season 3 of Arrow will appear in Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
The time travel, so apparently he's part of it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think, you know, with the way the Legends of Tomorrow prequel episodes ended, like,
the I guess the whatever he was in charge of, the Al Ghul people.
The Al Ghul people.
What, I don't remember what they're called. I haven't gotten that far. Either way, Malcolm Merlyn is in charge of them, right? Mm-hmm. In Arrow. He took the ashes from that time traveling, or the immortal guy. It's going to be tied into that somehow. So, yeah, either way. Legend of Tomorrow, we're getting more villain characters. That's pretty awesome. I want to see it. Let's go do it.
Yeah, man. January is going to be a fun month. We're getting new stuff in January.
We are, and I'm glad. I'm glad we don't have to wait.
Mm-hmm.
Suicide Squad. What do you think about that?
Well, this was the movie that we were supposedly getting a trailer for before Star Wars that never came.
Yes, the trailer has been rated. Where is it? That's the question. The new synopsis has landed. The only thing it kind of gives me here is that, you know, that they're villains, you know, at the government's disposal. They send them off a mission to defeat an enigmatic insuperable entity. So I'm leaning towards the Enchantress being the villain, because the Joker is not enigmatic. I'm going to be honest. I don't think he's the main villain. However, once they realize they weren't picked to succeed, but chosen for their patent culpability, meaning they can die and no one cares, when they inevitably fail, will the Suicide Squad resolve to die trying, or decide it's every man for himself? So I feel like they're going to have to learn to team together, or there's going to be some people like wild card bitches and run away.
Yeah, so like, I'm curious when we're actually going to get this trailer, because I said that we probably wouldn't get the Civil War trailer the week of Thanksgiving just because they wouldn't want to compete with the holiday. But that's exactly when we got it. And I would just assume that there's no way we would get the Suicide Squad next week, just because it would
Christmas.
It would be dealing with the holiday. So now I feel like they're definitely waiting, because they kind of want to give Star Wars some room. They don't want to compete with the Star Wars buzz, which I get. That kind of makes sense for them. So like, I feel like maybe they're going to wait for the new year. Maybe they're going to wait for 2016.
See, I think that they were giving Batman and Superman trailers some breathing room.
Okay.
You don't want to compete with yourself, honestly. And maybe, I don't know. I want to see a new Suicide Squad trailer. One of the ladies I work with is really excited for this, honestly, and they thought it wasn't out for like two more years. So I'm glad that's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Some big crazy news I got this week early on: the Hasbro universe has been born.
Yeah, I alluded to this earlier in the podcast. What won't Hollywood turn into a franchise at this point in time?
So Paramount and Hasbro are to make one movie connected universe. And I originally thought this included Transformers, but it's not. Right. Transformers will remain separate. However, this will consist of toys / comic things from Visionaries. I don't know what that is.
No.
G.I. Joe.
I know what that is.
Rom the Space Knight.
Sounds familiar.
It was a Marvel Comics character they eventually gave up the rights to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Mask, which is another acronym company.
Okay.
And Micronauts.
Now, Micronauts weren't... I'm trying to think. Those, it's like, I feel like the image...
GoBots.
What are Micronauts?
Micronauts, it was a comic book series, again, from Marvel. A lot of these came from Marvel with toys, and they're like little bitty super powered people, I think.
Okay. So Hasbro's like, hey, let's make a universe with all of these franchises and all of these properties that Marvel didn't even want, that people are just vaguely familiar with.
Yeah. So Micronauts actually crossed over with X-Men way back when. it's how crazy it is. But like, they originate in the Microverse, which is what Marvel is using in Ant-Man. So I think they're like, oh, we're going to do that. And they have the homeworld microchip and all this other stupid stuff. It's a stretch, man. It's a stretch, I'm going to be honest.
Oh, man. I'm kind of excited now, just because I want to see how they do it. Because it's kind of like when you're working on like a project, any sort of creative project that gives you limits or limitations, usually your creativity, it gets spurred. You know, you don't have like all of this like reach of all of these ways you can make the movie better. They like, how do we make this good? I kind of like the challenge that they have over there.
Yeah, so I think we'll get at least one movie for each, and that will determine the future of everything as a whole.
Yeah, well, I don't know if there's any precious fans out there of this strange G.I. Joe franchise that they've kept alive for this long, but I'm curious if they keep that alive or if they reboot the franchise for G.I. Joe.
My guess is reboot, but if they can get the Rock back, who knows, man?
Yeah,
he sells stuff. But yeah, I thought that was kind of funny. Like that's a bold move by far. Lastly, I have your favorite bit of news: Alien Covenant.
Oh no, it confuses me to no end.
Oh, okay. So is this one a prequel or a sequel? Or
you know both? What? I don't even care anymore. I don't even care anymore.
So Catherine Watterson, who is in Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, has been cast in the lead role as a character called Daniels.
Okay.
Another female lead character in an Alien movie, of course. And she's a lead character, and that's about all we got.
All right.
I just wanted to throw it in there just because, you know what? I know it's your favorite franchise.
You just like hearing my frustration.
It is true.
You know, the funny thing is like, maybe this would be less confusing if I have seen more Alien movies. I have only seen the original Alien. And I know people say the second one is like more of an action movie. It's not really doesn't really have the same vibe as the first one. I'm going to get around to seeing the second one because I hear the second one is really the only other good one.
Yeah, one and two are good. I think three and four, I think I saw three, didn't care. Four, I even less care.
Yeah, the first Alien was awesome. I saw it so late in the game. I think the first time I saw Alien was maybe last year, which was funny because I saw Alien after I saw Prometheus. But the thing is, like, you understand what's going on in Alien because it's such a simple premise that if you've heard about this movie, because this movie came out like what, it's like the late 70s, I think
it's a 79.
Yeah, I think so. So this movie has been around for so long that you just kind of understand what the aliens look like. You understand that they just kind of come across them in space. So when you see Prometheus, it's easy to kind of put the pieces together for yourself, even though Prometheus is kind of like a crazy movie anyway. So when I finally got around to watching Alien, I was like, man, this is a really good film. It's really just kind of like, it's a space horror film. It doesn't like trot all around the galaxy trying to do this crazy action stuff. I really liked it. So we'll have to see how the second one holds up. I hear it's probably still good. And then I have to figure out this freaking timeline again.
No, it's all one timeline. There's no time travel, thank God. It's just three and four just don't bother. But yeah, we'll get there one day. Maybe we'll do a couple, like we'll sit down and have flashcards on Alien or something.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
So that's it for the news. We almost made it under 50 minutes. 50 under 50 is what I was going for. Episode 50. I want to go ahead and set expectations. We are not recording next Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
We will be recording on December 30th.
Yeah, that's true. We got some holiday stuff coming up between the two of us, but we don't want to miss a week if we don't have to. So we're deciding that we're gonna put out our 50th episode of Superheroes.
51st. No, it is 50th. It is 50th. Yeah, I'm so wrong.
Well, technically, we've done more than 50 if you count the spoiler cast. So the number is not exactly what we're gonna do. Episode 50 of the Superhero Slate podcast on the last day of the year. That's when we're going to drop it. You know, you can segue into the new 2016 with some news. We're going to do a couple segments relating on wrapping up the year. So it's not going to be popping up in your feeds on Sunday and Monday like it usually does. So look for it towards the end of the week. You know, hopefully you don't have to do any sort of like schoolwork or work, and you can just like sit down and chill and cruise on into the new year, man.
Yeah, totally. So take some time, enjoy your family, enjoy your friends, enjoy your holidays. We know we will, and we're gonna come back on the 30th, and we're gonna hit it hard, man. Leading into that new year, I think we're excited. We got a lot going on, and thrilled for it.
Yeah.
In the meantime, you've got a new iPad Pro, and you've been doing some drawings. Where can they find those drawings at, Mike?
Ooh, nice little segue there. Yeah, I did get my new fancy little iPad Pro with my Apple Pencil.
Little iPad Pro.
So you can follow me at Mike Royer Design on Twitter and Instagram, and you can catch a couple of those photos. Man, that iPad Pro is so fun to draw on. There's no limitations. Like, I can just jump right in with an idea and go from start to finish. It's great. But, Chris.
That's my name.
The people out there, they want to follow you, man. They want to follow you. They want to know what's going on in your life. They want to see all the pop vinyls that you're sure going to get for the holidays.
Oh, that's true.
So where can they find you, and where can they find these pop vinyls that you get?
So you can follow me on Twitter at Valdan, V-A-L-D-A-N. I do put a lot of stuff up there occasionally, don't I? Oh, well.
A lot of stuff occasionally.
Yeah, it usually depends on my mood. But at the same time, I'm on comicui.com, news.comicui.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter there. You can follow me, read my Star Wars view, tell me how wrong I am. tell me how right I am. I don't care. Either one. It's everyone has their own opinion, and I'm more than happy to talk it out. Yeah, so that's it. You can find me on there. But if they want to use the Force and subscribe to the Superhero Slate, where can they do that at?
Well, as always, please visit superheroslate.com. That's where you can find the links to all of the places that we're connected to. Heck, we're on iTunes, we're on Google Play Music soon, we're on YouTube, SoundCloud. We just popped up on Stitcher, so you can get Stitchered out. I don't really know what they call it over there. I don't know if Stitcher's a verb, but I made it a verb. You can find us on Tumblr. You can subscribe via email, get it right to your inbox. You can just circumvent all these crazy subscription services and just use your old inbox there. You can like us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter. There's so many ways that you can follow us. You know, if you're a fan of the show, please head on over to iTunes and leave us a review. It helps us pop up and lets more eyeballs see us. If you're a super fan of the show, just share the show with a friend.
It makes a great Christmas present, and it's free.
Yeah, it's free. This show is always going to be free, so you never have to worry about any of that.
Well, it's almost as good as the Jelly of the Month Club, the gift that keeps on giving you around.
Yeah, exactly. We do our best to not miss a week, so share the show with a friend. And at this point, we say just cruise on into our spoiler cast of Star Wars The Force Awakens. If you've seen it, don't be crazy masochist and listen to it when you haven't seen the movie yet.
Yes.
I'm ready to talk about it. We're about ready to record it. We're about to drop the needle. Okay, that doesn't make any sense because I don't think you drop a needle to start recording anything.
Yeah, we're not. I mean, I'm near some sewing equipment. I could definitely drop some needles. All right. Just give me a second. I'll do it. But head over to our new redesigned website again. Mike did a great job on that.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. Head out. Check it out. I've been showing it off all week. It's been pretty awesome. But until then, I guess we'll see you on the Star Wars spoiler cast.
Yeah, we'll see you on the flip side, guys. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe!